I gave a shiur this past week about the laws of Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, and in passing, I mentioned the fact that many of the Gedolim that our community follows are of the opinion that one would be allowed to take medications on a public fast day. Reb Moshe Feinstein is even quoted as saying, once you have a right to take a medication, what if I'm not able to take a medicine without using water? So Reb Moshe Feinstein and others were of the opinion that you're even allowed to take a minimal amount of water with the pills that you need to take, and that would not be a violation of the tainus of the public fast day. So I mentioned this very briefly in a shiur this week to women. It was really mentioned in passing. I didn't really want to get into the whole sugya because it's quite a complicated one. But tonight I really wanted to get more into the question and really understand, number one, what is the issue about non-kosher medications and gel caps in general throughout the year? And with that, obviously it will lead to the discussion that is relevant to public fast days as well. So let's just begin with the actual sources. We have a Gemara, a Mishnah, Maseches Avodah Zarah, Daf Samachei Amud Beis. And this is really talking about all machalas asuras. Let's say, for example, you're not allowed to eat. Just take a simple example. We all know we have a prohibition against eating chazer. You're not allowed to eat pig meat. So that's called machalas asuras. It's asur ba'achila, it's mutar ba'hana, right? You're allowed to get hana from it. You're allowed to derive some benefit, but you're not allowed to eat it. So there says the Mishnah as follows, Zeha klal. This is the rule. Kol shebahana also benosein tam. Let's say I would stick a piece of non-kosher meat, a piece of pig meat, into a pot of soup. Says the Mishnah, kol shebahana also benosein tam. If it's going to give off a flavor, usser, then the entire pot of soup would become usser. Kol she'ein bahana also benosein tam. If by putting this piece of meat that's non-kosher into my kosher chicken soup, it's not going to give off a flavor, then we assume that it's going to be mutter, it's not a problem at all. Now the Braisa there in Maseches Avodah Zarah, Samach Zayin Amud Beis, qualifies the statement and says, well, there's some aspect of this line that's missing. The Mishnah does not say whether it's nosein tam l'shvach or nosein tam l'fgam. What does that mean? Sometimes you can have an item that adds flavor, but it adds a positive flavor. Sometimes it's the wrong ingredient, it adds a negative flavor. So the Mishnah just says, if it adds flavor, then the whole mixture is going to be usser. If it doesn't add flavor, meaning it's neutral, then it's going to be mutter. But what the Mishnah does not discuss is, what if it adds negative flavor? Is that going to be something that will ruin my entire pot of chicken soup? Or perhaps not. Says the Braisa, V'hatanya, Echad nosein tam l'fgam, V'echad nosein tam l'shvach, usser. Rav Meir is of the opinion, whether it gives a positive flavor to this mixture or it gives a negative flavor to the mixture, either way, if it's going to change the taste at all from what was before to what is right now, then we assume it is considered to be usser. And Reb Shimon disagrees. Reb Shimon says no. That if it negatively impacts the mixture, if now you put in a piece of non-kosher meat and this recipe did not at all call for meat, and now that the meat is in there, it's ruining the whole recipe, then says the Gemara, Reb Shimon is of the opinion that that would not be a problem. Why does Reb Shimon say that? Writes the Gemara, D'Tanya, Lo Sochlu Kol Nevela. We learn this because the Torah gives us an instruction that we're not allowed to eat Nevela. Nevela is non-kosher meat. And what are we supposed to do with it? Well, you're not allowed to eat it, but you're allowed to get Hana. So says the Gemara, La Gera Sher B'Sharecha, you're allowed to give it away to a ger, to a non-Jew who lives in the neighborhood. Ger here means something unusual. Ger means ger toshav, means a not a real Jew. Obviously, if we're not allowed to eat the piece of meat, you can't give it to a convert either. Convert, once he converts, is Jewish. So here, the pasuk is sometimes misunderstood by people who say, oh, you're not allowed to eat the non-kosher meat, but give it to your convert who's a good friend of yours. No, that's not what it means. It means the ger, it means to a non-Jew who happens to live in your neighborhood, then you can give it to him. Why not? He doesn't have any prohibition against eating non-kosher meat, and therefore you're allowed to give it to him. No reason to throw it out. Says the Gemara, we learn from this that the only time something has the status of being a piece of nevela, the only time something would have the status as being a non-kosher piece of meat is if it would be edible to the person who lives down the block from you who happens not to be a Jew. But what if you have a piece of meat that's so spoiled that it's ena ru'i lager, you wouldn't be able to give it to your neighbor because it's been sitting out of the freezer for a month, and now it's all rotten, and there's flies and maggots, and the whole thing would never, it's not edible at all, or for whatever reason, you wouldn't be able to give it to your neighbor for any other reason why it's not something that would be of interest to him to eat. In such a case, says the Gemara, that's not called nevela. It's not a piece of treif meat. It's not edible at all. And therefore, says the Gemara, once it's not roi la'achila, once it's not edible anymore, Reb Shimon is of the opinion that it is not called a piece of treif meat. And therefore, Reb Shimon extends it. And he says, if you take a piece of non-kosher meat and you put it into a mixture that now makes the mixture nosein tam lifgam, it now makes the mixture worse off than it was before it was in here, then that's similar to this halacha of nevela she'ena ru'uy lager. Okay, let's see the way the Rambam trickles down from this Gemara, machlokas Reb Meir and Reb Shimon. Let's see the way the Rambam understands it. Writes the Rambam Perek Yudalid, halacha Yudalif. And as we continue, you'll understand how this is all going to become relevant to our discussion about gel caps and about non-kosher medications. For anyone who just came in, there are more sheets on the bima. Ketzad, says the Rambam, what does this mean practically? Hare shehimcha es hacheleb. Over here, there's two words to read the word ches lamed beis. Either it's chalav, which means milk. Nothing wrong with milk. Cheleb is the part of the animal that we're not allowed to eat. So here the Rambam means cheleb. Hare shehim ches hacheleb means you cook up a piece of cheleb, which is not allowed to be consumed by a Jew. Vigam mo'o, and then you swallow it. Kishuhu cham, when it's so boiling hot, it just came out of the frying pan, just came out of the oven, and you shove it into your mouth. Ad shenichve grono mimenu, that your mouth and your throat get burnt from eating this piece of cheleb that you weren't allowed to eat. Or, says the Rambam, example number two is she'achal cheleb chai. You take a piece of cheleb out of the freezer, and you just take a bite out of it. Nobody eats cheleb raw without cooking it, without frying it, baking it. O she'ir of dvarim marim. Third example, says the Rambam, I have a perfectly good piece of cheleb. I cooked it, it's now ready to eat, and I douse it with spices, with so much garlic, that any normal person would never eat such a thing. Your mouth is going to burn off when you eat it. Or some other spice, pepper, something, you put it on, so much that it's inedible, says the Rambam in such a case, va'achlan kishein marin, if you eat it in that state, o she'achal ochel ha'aser achar she'esriach, or you take a piece of meat after it's already spoiled, like the Gemara says, v'hivish, and there are flies flying around it, and no normal person would eat such a thing, u'batil me'ochel adam hareza pater, says the Rambam, in all these cases, you are now going to be pater. You're not in violation of the iser of eating machalas asuras. Why not? Because you're eating shelo kederach hanah. That's not the normal way. The iser that the Torah says is, don't eat this. And you're eating this in a way that no normal person would eat it. Either because you did something to it by putting spices on it that make it inedible, or because you eat it without cooking it, which also is a way that no normal person would eat, or any of the examples that the Rambam gives, all of those are considered to be shelo kederach achila, and therefore it's not a problem at all. What's not clear in the Rambam is, does he believe that it will be mutter lechatchila for me to eat that? Let's have a piece of chelev doused with spices. No regular person would eat it. It means I'm allowed to take it and eat it. Now, why you'd want to do such a thing, I don't know. But is that really what the Rambam means? It's mutter legamri, mutter lechatchila? Or he just means that maybe that's not what the Torah had in mind when it said you're not allowed to eat chazer. But midirabbanan, they would still say, it's not a right thing to do. You shouldn't get near treif of food, even if it's inedible. You shouldn't put it into your mouth.
He said
pater. Oh, so pater usually means in Ilchas Shabbos. The Rambam says in Ilchas Shabbos, whenever it says pater, it means pater avalasar. Pater avalasar means aser midaraisa in Ilchas Shabbos. So here, the Rambam clearly doesn't mean that. What does it mean when he says pater here? That's a major dispute. And it's not necessarily the case that we're going to borrow the terminology that the Rambam has in Hilchos Shabbos. Whenever he says pater, it's not necessarily the case that that's what he means here. In Hilchos Shabbos, he points it out beferish, that any time in Hilchos Shabbos when I write pater, it means pater avalasar. But here, that's the question, what does he mean? So the Mishnah Lamelech writes, I'm sorry I didn't put it on here, Mishnah Lamelech says, no, the Rambam doesn't mean to say it's absolutely mutter. The Rambam just means that's not what the Torah had in mind. Because the Torah says, don't eat chazer, this is not called eating. However, if a person is going to want to eat such a thing, even when it's full of spices, or it's raw, or it's spoiled, whatever it might be, says the Mishnah Lamelech, that would be an Isser D'Rabbanan. Because you're supposed to stay away from non-kosher food, it's not supposed to be consumed, doesn't matter the way it is right now, you're not supposed to be consuming it at all. That's the way the Mishnah Lamelech understands it, that's the way the Chasam Sofer understands it, and many other Gedolei Acharonim. However, the Pri Chadash says no. Mutar Legamri. If the Torah says don't eat chazer, that means don't eat chazer. And that means you're only not allowed to eat non-kosher food in the way that normal people would eat it. But if you figure out a way to eat it in a way that nobody in their right mind would want to eat such a thing, that's not called a violation of the Yisr Achila. So the Chazon Ish really writes it very clearly. Look at number Gimel. Says the Chazon Ish, Nifsa me Achilas Adam, Ein ba Achilaso Yisr Klal, Lo mi Daraisa, Ve lo mi Darabanan. Says the Chazon Ish, there is no Yisr Daraisa, no Yisr Darabanan. When the Rambam here says Pater, he means Pater Legamri, and it's Mutter Lechatchila. You have a piece of treifa meat that came out of the freezer and now it's spoiled, it's been sitting out for a week, you want to go take a bite out of it, gesunte, hey, do what you want. You might be crazy, you might get sick from it, but there's no reason to stop a person, it's mutter lechatchila. Now, happens to be, the Sefer Achinuch raises an issue from a different angle. He says we have a different prohibition. You're right that it's true that there's no prohibition in this case of machalas asuras. After all, the Torah says, don't eat a piece of chazer, and you're not eating, you're doing something crazy. It's like chewing a piece of rubber. There's nothing there. But what would you say, says the Sefer Achinuch, we have another prohibition in the Torah of bal tishaktsu. Don't do something that's disgusting. Don't do something that's mius. So he says, this is disgusting. You have a piece of raw meat. Take it out of the freezer. You take a bite out of it without cooking it. That's disgusting. Isn't that a violation of bal tishaktsu? After all, says the Sefer Achinuch, you take a piece of meat, you douse it with spices, or you leave it out of the freezer for a week, and now you're going to take a bite out of it. Isn't that a problem from a different angle? Al bal tishaktsu, says the Sefer Achinuch, not a problem. Ulai tomar eichanu matirim nevela misreches la'achla l'chatchila, says the Sefer Achinuch. How can I allow a person to eat something that's spoiled and rotten and out of the fridge and something nobody normal would eat? You're telling me it's not an Isra Achila. What about the fact, ha'ika mishim bal tishaktsu, says the Sefer Achinuch, it's mius, it's disgusting what you're doing. And that's a violation of bal tishaktsu es nafshir seichem. Says the Sefer Achinuch, no. Hatshuva bazet. To call shu davar muat kazeh, somebody's going to take a tiny little drop and they're going to eat it. He says, va'ocha nivla bekli. We're talking about where a tiny piece of spoiled meat fell into a pot. So now it got mixed in. And it happened to be it was spoiled and nobody would eat it. Says Sefer Achinuch, that's not bal tishaktsu. When you eat that chicken soup, nobody even sees it. It got mixed in. Nobody remembers. Nobody knows where it is. What happens in the kitchen stays in the kitchen and don't tell anybody. Says the Sefer Achinuch, you can't classify that, you can't categorize it as bal tishaktsu, because bal tishaktsu means you're doing an act that is absolutely mius, that anyone who looks at you knows what you're doing. But he says if this would just fall into a pot of soup, he says not a problem at all, and therefore he says mutter lechatchila. Like the Chazon Ish writes, it's mutter lechatchila. Oh, that's what we're getting to. It's exactly what we're getting to. Exactly what we're getting to. The top of the page says gel cap pills. That's what the whole shiur is leading toward. Yes. One minute. So everybody calm down. We have too many Talmidei Chachamim here. One step at a time. The Gemara, let's just lay down the groundwork. The Gemara talks about nevela she'ena ru'i lager. When you have a piece of meat that no normal person would eat, says the Gemara, that's not called a piece of nevela. Says the Rambam, we can add on to that, that if it's spoiled, or if you put spices on it, or it's raw, anything else that no normal person would eat is not called piece of tray for food, and the Rambam says putter. What does the Rambam mean when he says putter? So many Acharonim say he means mutter lechatchila, no problem at all. Now, this is all with regard to machalas asuras. What about when we talk about basar b'chalav? Now, this is a little trickier. Hold on tight. When we talk about basar b'chalav, it gets a little more complicated. Why? Because if you look in the original pasuk, what does the Torah say when it says you're not allowed to eat milk and meat together? What is the formulation of that pasuk? Don't cook? What do you mean? You're not allowed to eat it. So we have three times where the Torah says, Lo sevasho gedi. Says the Gemara, number one is to teach us you're not allowed to eat it. Number two is to teach us you're not allowed to cook it. Number three is to teach us that it's asur behana. So basar b'chalav is in like a category of its own. Because we have three different psukim. But what's very strange, says the Gemara, is that this is not formulated in the text of Lo sochlu. It doesn't say don't eat, it says Lo sevashel. So it sounds like a very different nature of the Isser. Why is that? Well, writes the Aruch HaShulchan, he spells it out very clearly. Let's read it together, says the Aruch HaShulchan number Hey. Very famous line of the Aruch HaShulchan, but all the Acharonim say it, Simon Pei Zayin, Od Yesh Bachomer Mikali Suri Achila. What does it mean that the Torah doesn't formulate the prohibition of basar b'chalav with the same word of lo tochlu or lo sochal that it says by everything else? It means to say that basar b'chalav is considered more chomer, more severe than any other isra achila in the Torah. So everybody always gives the example, pig, oh, you're not allowed to eat a pig. Basar b'chalav is much worse. Basa b'chalav is much worse. Why is it worse? He says, the kali suri achila ein lokin aleim ela kederach hana'asan. All other isuri achila, like pig, like anything else that's not kosher meat, we would say that only if you eat it in the normal way, like the Rambam said, that's when you get the violation. That's when you've done something wrong. However, he says, the reason for that is because every time the Torah said, don't eat, it means don't eat like a normal person. But here he says, by basar b'chalav, av shelo kederach hana'asan. If you're going to consume basar b'chalav in an abnormal way, let's say you have something that's milk and meat cooked together and now you douse it with spices, or it's raw, or it's something that's spoiled, or whatever it is, and you happen to get hana'ah from it, says the Aruch HaShulchan, since the whole formulation of the Isser Basar B'Chalav was not written specifically about Achila, that means that it extends farther than any other Isser that we normally are familiar with. Okay?
Are we saying in the case of Basar B'Chalav, that's a subjective thing, and everywhere else it's objective?
Perhaps. That might be a good way to say it. So that's the way we differentiate between Machalas Asuras, which is considered to be, between Basar B'Chalav, which is the worst of the worst, and therefore, even if you do it Shelo Kederach Hana'ah, the abnormal way, we would assume that you are in violation of this Isra Basar B'Chalav, whereas by regular Machalas Asuras, non-kosher items, we assume it's only going to be a prohibition when you have them Shelo, when you have them Kederach Achila, the normal way. Now, let's go a little bit further. What about when we say that you're going to have something which is a machalas asuras, something that's made up of machalas asuras, but it's not the normal way to eat it. But you choose, like you just said, achshaveh, you choose to eat it anyway. So for example, the Rosh writes in Maseches Pesachim, just to give a background here. The Rosh says in Maseches Pesachim, we have a Gemara, Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, where the Gemara says, as we know, you're not allowed to eat chametz on Pesach. Okay. Now what happens if you took chametz before Pesach and you burnt it to a crisp? You burn the chametz. Now it's ashes. So you burn the chametz and now comes Pesach and you say, hey, that would be interesting. I'd love to eat that. So you go ahead and you take your bagel that was totally burnt to a crisp, inedible, and you now decide to eat it on Pesach. Says the Gemara, mutar b'hana le'achar zmano. You're allowed to have hana'ah from these ashes. No problem at all. Not an issue. Says the Rosh, yeah, the Gemara only says mutar b'hana'ah. So if I wanted to take those ashes and cover over, I have a spill in my house and I don't want anyone to slip, so I want to put ashes out on the floor. I don't know what else you would use ashes for. So then the Gemara says, mutar b'hana'ah. You would be allowed to use it. However, says the Rosh, what if a person, a meshugana, decides he wants to eat the ashes? What would he say then? On Pesach. What would you say then? No, la'achas mana. No. La'achas mana means on Pesach, after the Zman Isser. Meaning I burnt it on Erev Pesach. And now on Pesach, la'achas man Isser, I want to have hana'ah from it. So the Gemara says, mutar b'hana'ah, no problem. You want to use the ashes for some purpose? No problem at all. Says the Rosh, the Gemara only says mutar b'hana'ah. What if some crazy person decides they want to eat it? What would you say then? Writes the Rosh, no. Then he's not allowed to do that. Why? Dafka b'hana. The Gemara only says you're allowed to get benefit from these ashes. Avo ba'achila. But a person decides, you're crazy, you're the meshugana in town, and you decide you want to take the charred ashes from that bagel that you burnt before Pesach, and you want to eat them on Pesach. Says the Rosh, absolutely not. Af al pi shehu ka'afar. What do you mean? It's ashes. What's the problem? It's not chametz anymore. Kivan shu ochlo aser. Since you decided that for you this is called an achila, says the Rosh, we have this new concept called achshaveh. Achshaveh means, I have now created a new food item. Even though you asked 99 out of 100 people, can you tell me, is this something that's edible? 99 out of 100 people will say, of course not, nobody would eat that. You have one crazy person, so for him, that's called a piece of food, that's called an edible item, and if he will go ahead and choose to eat it on Pesach, he will be in violation of the Isser Chametz B'Pesach. What? So the Rosh has a chiddush. He says we have this concept of achshaveh, that even though it's not, yeah, okay. What do you mean? There's no isra achila. The only isra achila on Pesach, you're allowed to eat on Pesach. You're just not allowed to eat chametz. So the Rosh says it takes on the status of whatever it was, even though for most people they would look at this and say it's inedible. The Rosh says that's the chiddush that we call achshaveh. Oh, says the Shagas Aryeh. You're going to tell me, Achshavei, I have a very good example. What about a pill that has non-kosher ingredients in it? So all of us would say, the same way the Rambam says, anything that's not normal to eat. It's not normal to eat spoiled meat. It's not normal to eat meat that has spices on it that are too spicy for anyone to eat. It's also not normal that when I come home from work at night and I'm very hungry, that I'm going to go to the cabinet and take out pills and eat them. That's not an edible item. So most of us would have said, what's the problem? It has non-kosher ingredients in it. Who cares? The Rambam says, like the Chazon Ish understood, that it's pater and mutter lechatchila. There's nothing wrong at all. However, says the Shagas Aryeh, no. We have this new concept of achshavei. The Rosh introduces us to this idea by chametz bePesach, that if you have charred chametz that no normal person would eat, but you decide to eat it, that's considered to be an aveira of chametz bePesach. And therefore he extends that and he says, if you have a pill that has non-kosher ingredients in it, we will apply the same rule as the Rosh says by chametz bePesach to this as well, and that is called achshavei, and it means that you're eating something that is a non-kosher item because you have now shown that you have an interest in it. Now, the Shagas Aryeh's opinion is basically outvoted by most of the Gedolei Achronim. So the Ksav Sofer writes, he doesn't think this is true. Where did the Rosh say achshavei? The Rosh said it by chametz bePesach, but he said, where I'm actually eating something. I take a bagel that's charred, and I eat it. That's called achshavei. Over here writes the Ksav Sofer, when I'm taking it for lirafua, when I'm taking it as a pill, I'm not taking this because I think this is a wonderful thing to eat. I'm taking it because the doctor told me that I should take this. Not because I enjoy it, not because I consider this an achila. So if you have some mishugana on Pesach who decides that he likes to take the burnt bagels and eat them, so for you that's called chametz bePesach. But for most normal people it's not. But over here, every normal person who takes medication agrees this is not a food item. And if I didn't have to take it because I was sick, I absolutely would not eat it. And therefore, says the Ksav Sofer, the whole idea of achshavei, that was the chiddush of the Rosh that sometimes applies, would not be able to be applied in this case. This is not only the opinion of the Ksav Sofer, the Darkei Tshuva quotes many achronim, the Stechema talks about it as well. And if you look, look at the Ksav Sofer, I mean, we have it here, you can look at it on your own, but that's basically the opinion of of many Gedolei Achronim, that there would be no problem to take non-kosher pills that have non-kosher ingredients in it. Why? Because we assume that that's not called achshavei at all. I'm not showing that I consider this a food item. This is the same inedible item that the Rambam describes as any piece of meat that no normal person would eat. Now, what happens with the gel caps? The Rosh says it only there. So some say, oh, maybe he means, what? Right, so some want to say maybe it's only there, but it seems that the Achronim have adopted his position by other areas as well. So that's, again, the Rosh only says it there, but there are other Achronim who have extended this opinion of the Rosh as well to other issues. So now, what about when you have a gel cap? Now, what is a gel cap? A gel cap is made, gelatin, is made out of bones from a treif animal, not just a treif animal, it's from a pig. Very often it's from a pig, gelatin. So the question is, what do you do about gel caps? The reason why they have gel caps is to make it easier for us to swallow. So what do? Gel caps is real machalas asuras. So Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach said, well, if you have the ability to take them down wrapped in a tissue, so then you should do that. Now, I don't know, doesn't work for me. So Shlomo Zalman says, if you're able to wrap it up in something that you won't taste, you won't feel anything with the gel, well, that defeats the whole purpose. The point of the gel cap is, you should be able to take it down. Right? If you put a tissue around it, I assume it takes away the effect. Okay. So Shlomo Zalman says, if you can do it, that's what you should do. But for most of us, I assume that's not a possibility. So what do we do then? So this is a very important issue. And the Chazon Ish writes, why would there be a problem? This is called something that's not roi la'achila. It's not a normal thing to eat. It doesn't taste like anything. What?
Are you eating it?
You're swallowing it. You're ingesting it.
All right, ingesting, but is that...
That's called eating, yeah. So says the Chazon Ish, but it's not called eating. This is not an edible item. This is the same item as the Rambam described, the piece of meat that's not edible. This is the same thing. No regular person would eat such a thing. And therefore the Chazon Ish says, I don't see why there should be an issue at all. And therefore he was of the opinion that we should just leave it as is, no problem at all. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky is of that opinion as well. He writes in a Sefer in Yerideya that there's no reason to assume that a gel cap should be a problem. After all, says Rabbi Yaakov, He says, what are you going to tell people? To start opening up the gel cap, take out the contents of the pill, and then take it down without the gelatin outside? He says, there's no problem at all. Why? Because why would there be an issue? Why would there be an issue? After all, this is called machalas asuras. You're right. It's made from a treifa animal. But the rule was, like the Rambam says, whenever you have machalas asuras, and you eat something shelo kederach achila, in a way that most normal people would not want to eat it, it doesn't give them hana, in a case like that, he says, we wouldn't have a problem at all. So, this is a major issue. Now, when it comes to gelatin in the first place, we're assuming here that gelatin is usur. But Reb Chaim Ozer and the Har Tzvi and many other great achronim in the last 150 years discuss whether gelatin in the first place is really usur or not, which is a major dispute amongst the Gedolei Achronim, not so clear. Some say that because the process of creating the gelatin is such that you extract whatever it is from the animal, from the bone of the animal, then they pulverized it, and they cook it, and they heat it up, and they dry it out. And it turns out there's no taste left by the time it's made into the gelatin, whatever the substance is. There's nothing left from the original that once was there. In a case like that, says Reb Chaim Ozer and many other achronim, maybe we should say, the whole thing's mutter in the first place. It's called Isur Shenishtana Legamri. It's like taking something, taking away all of the properties of that item, and now you create it into something else. So why should that be usur? It doesn't retain anything that was there before. So that's in the first place. It's not clear whether gelatin is usur. But let's assume, l'chumra, that gelatin remains usur and is still a problem. So this is the big discussion, whether or not we would say that it's an issue. So the Tzitz Eliezer of Waldenburg, who has many, many tshuvas, because he was the Rav of Shari Tzedek, he has many tshuvas about medicine, he has many tshuvas about many things, many, many volumes of Tzitz Eliezer that are beautifully written. So in the Tzitz Eliezer, he has a whole discussion about gel caps, and there he says that he doesn't think it makes sense. And he says, Adi Rabbi, you have to be careful, because he says, I'm not familiar, but he says from his speaking with some of the doctors, he was told that some of these caps, some of these capsules, if you're going to open them up and take the powder out, he said it could be acidic material in there. There's a reason why they hide it inside of a capsule. If you open it up and you take it down just like that with water, he said it could have an acidic taste in your mouth, and it's something that could be harmful to you. Not a good idea. And therefore, he says we should take it down the way it is, and there's not a problem at all. So look at this from the Daf HaKashrus. Daf HaKashrus is the OU puts out periodically some of the psukim that they work on, which I always find very relevant and very important to read, because it keeps you updated on many of the kashrus issues that are really relevant to today. So here, my father and Rabbi Belsky discussed this many years ago about what is the OU's policy about giving hashgacha to some of these gel caps. What should we say? So they have these two kinds of different capsules. I don't even know how to say the word. Glucosamine and chondroit. Thank you. I'm glad everyone in the room knows what it is. What? Glucosamine and what's the other one?
Chondroitin.
Chondroitin sulfate are common dietary supplements that are taken to alleviate arthritis. Although vegetable glucosamine does exist, more commonly it is sourced from the shells of shrimp, lobsters, and crabs. You know, I'm always amazed. I go to the OU on Fridays during the summer months. I'm always amazed. In the OU, I'm sure in many kashrus agencies they have the same thing. I've just never been there. In the OU, they have one person who's in charge, meaning they have tons of mashgichim all over the place, out in the field. But in the office, they have one person who's an expert in each field. So they have one person who all he focuses on is fish. He knows everything in the world you can ever know about fish. He knows nothing about anything else. You ask him about another product, he'll have no idea. You have another person who knows, expert on vegetables, and what is the, you ask, sometimes these guys walk into the office, not guys, the big Talmidei Chachamim, but they walk into the office and this is what they live and breathe all day long. So you ask them, what's the likelihood of finding a bug in a bushel of kale? He knows off the top of his head, well, if it comes from South America, it's this likelihood and that percentage. Like, this is what these people do all day. It amazes me. And there's one guy who's in charge of cheeses and one guy who's in charge of milks. And then they all come together. So on Friday when my father comes, each one of them in their own department has a shiloh that they need to look into because something came up in their department that week and they want to discuss it. But you are the great expert in this area and you've been spending all week looking into it. It's a pleasure when you hear them present the shiloh with all of the background, with all the facts, showing all the videos on YouTube that we need to watch. It's amazing. That's a real way to ask a shiloh. So here, they looked into all of these pills and they found out that inside of the pill, the ingredients are shells of shrimp, lobster, and crabs. I think there's a reason why they don't advertise this, because who else, who would ever take a pill again What? No, I'm kidding. But who would ever take a pill if you knew what was inside? Anyway, this other medication, chondroitin, can be sourced from shark, bovine, and porcine cartilage. The shells and cartilage are processed in a manner similar to gelatin. Although the OU does not rely on the heter of nishtane, like we said, there are some achronim in the first place who say gelatin is not a problem, since we pulverize it and we cook it and we dry it out, and by the time you're done with the whole process, it's nothing to do with what it was when it started. But Rabbi Belsky and Rabbi Schechter held that we can certify pills that are intended as an arthritis remedy, even though they contain all of these problematic items, machalas asuras. Why? Because they are nifsal me'achila. That's exactly what the Rambam says. The same way if you have a piece of meat that's not edible, you're allowed to eat it because it's not a problem at all. So too over here, they say that it would not be an issue at all. It is called an inedible machalas asuras and it should not be a problem. Now, where this gets a little tricky is, would this be the same? The same way we say it for a gel cap or for any other medication that a person needs to take. So we'll say that it's permissible even though it's not kosher, even though it might have gelatin, it might have real machalas asuros. For whatever reason, it's going to be mutter because it's nevela she'ena ru'i lager. Rav Moshe Feinstein, surprisingly, even though he said that he has no problem with regular pills because he says it's not ru'i la'achila, Rav Moshe Feinstein seemed to have drawn a distinction between pills and vitamins. Now this is a chiddush. Look back at number Zion here. First side of the page, number Zion, Rav Moshe Feinstein says the following. This is quoted in the Sefer Mesoros Moshe. Now, obviously, Mesoros Moshe was not written by Rav Moshe himself. It was written by his family members. I happen to know one of the editors. He's a very good friend of mine, Moshe Kaufman. He was a chavrusa of mine in the Mir Yeshiva, much older than I am. But he married a granddaughter of Rav Moshe Feinstein, and he is the head of the Mesoros Moshe Foundation. So this is what he does with a lot of his time. He works through a lot of the Pesachim of Rav Moshe. He's a tremendous Talmud Chacham. So I think it's a very credible source, the Mesoros Moshe has, that they spoke with Rav Moshe Feinstein about vitamins. And Rav Moshe said the following, Hore Rabbeinu, Rav Moshe told us that when you have vitamins, le'ish bari, I'm a healthy person, I don't have a condition, I don't really need the vitamins, but whatever, we take vitamins. Some people take them to stay healthy, to make sure they're balanced. So says Rav Moshe, if you have an ish bari, that wants to take vitamins, ein lahakel la'ochla mim yesh behem ochel tarif. Rav Moshe said, if it has some kind of ingredient in it, that is a treif ingredient, you're not allowed to have the vitamin. Why not? What should be the difference? We just said, it's not roi la'achila. If it's not roi la'achila, what's the problem? So here's the chiddush. She'ein zederach achila, mikol makom yesh iser d'rabbanan bezeh, we said before that the Rambam says pater. Now what does pater mean? Not clear. So for a chole, for sure it's going to be mutter l'chatchila. But over here where we're talking about somebody who's not really a chole, so Rav Moshe said, maybe we should assume that it would be problematic. Not only that, Rav Moshe went further and he said, maybe, although we discussed before the svara of achshavei, maybe sometimes we have a right to say that even though 99% of the world would consider this an inedible item, if you take it and you have designated this as something that you're intending to eat, that now becomes something edible for you. That's no longer considered nevela she'ena ru'i lager because you're showing that you want to eat it. So in this case, says Rav Moshe, when it comes to pills, you're right, that's not achshavei. No normal person wants to eat pills. The only reason you're taking it is because the doctor told you to take it. When it comes to vitamins, you're choosing to eat it. So Rav Moshe said, that's a dietary supplement. It's like your dinner. The same way you're choosing to eat dinner tonight, you choose to take a vitamin. So Rav Moshe argues, maybe we should say that a gel cap vitamin or a non-kosher ingredient in a vitamin would be problematic, even though for any other pill it wouldn't be a problem at all. That's a major chiddush. That's a major chiddush. What?
If you don't take the vitamins, eventually you will have to take vitamins.
I don't know. Not so clear. I don't know. Not everyone's so clear about this. So if you look on the second side of the page, this was heavily debated. Should we really draw a distinction between gel caps with regard to any other pills, any medication that you need to take, and vitamins where we say that the vitamin is something that I have elected to take. I've chosen to eat it, and therefore the svara that the Rush said of achshavei, that sometimes I could take an inedible item and make it into something that's edible for me, maybe that would apply to a vitamin, even though it wouldn't apply to a regular pill. It's a big chiddush that Rav Moshe says. So my father really is not a fan of that at all. So let's look over here. Although Rabbi Belsky wrote, I didn't put it on here, but Rabbi Belsky had a long discussion about this as well, and he said maybe we should apply this principle of Rabbi Moshe and say that vitamins are off limits. I'll just read you the last line of Rabbi Belsky's discussion, and he says, thus, after the whole back and forth of the issue, he says, thus, taking a vitamin in a porcelain gel capsule through achshavei would be considered eating an edible piece of chazer. Whoa. So Rabbi Belsky was of the opinion that you should draw this distinction. And although we would say perhaps that you have a right, if you're a chola, to have one of the pills consumed, even though there's non-kosher ingredients in it, Rabbi Belsky argued, like Rav Moshe said, that when it comes to a vitamin, it would be a problem. And my father rejected this. He didn't agree at all. It was always interesting. When Rabbi Belsky was alive, Rabbi Belsky came into the OU on Tuesdays. My father used to come in on Fridays, but they shared one office. Their office is the size of this little closet here. So there was one desk in the office, and in that office, they used to leave notes for each other. So Rabbi Belsky would write whatever he thought about the questions they discussed. He would leave it on the desk, and he would ask that my father come on Friday and look it over. Either he agreed or disagreed. So my father would just either sign the bottom or write a whole long hosaf on the bottom, either something that he added, something that he disagreed with, or whatever. Then he would leave it on the desk. The next week, Rabbi Belsky, whatever. It was very interesting. They didn't really communicate, but they used to communicate leaving letters on the desk every week. So the OU ended up writing up all of these back and forth, and they're very interesting to see the different svaras, the different ideas. So here Rabbi Belsky was of the opinion that this is something that we should not accept. And my father wrote in his response that he thought this is something that the OU should allow. Nearly. Legabi haglulos, obviously we're not going to read the whole thing, but this is something that's interesting for you to read on your own. He says, nearly legabi haglulos shall vitamins hanazas mi gelatin. When you have these gel caps, which we know are made from macholos asuras, they stem from real non-kosher food. Shekeis hagelatin hazeh einenu roi la'achila b'chlal. They come from a non-kosher source, but obviously they're not roi la'achila right now. They're not edible. No normal person would eat this. Al pi pshuto hadas notel hadas agon Rav Moshe Feinstein. We would assume that Rav Moshe is right, that a pill is not called achshavei. A pill is not called achshavei, and my father goes on to argue this point where he feels that this is certainly the case. However, Rav Moshe then veers off and says, well, when it comes to vitamins, maybe it should be a problem. And if you look over here in the middle, look in the middle of the paragraph where it says supplement food. You see that? So two lines up. It says, "Va'al pipshuto hayanira b'kesher le'elu haglula shel vitamins v'shel refuas deloshna bolam le'refuah chad pa'amis." It doesn't matter if it's a one-time medication because of some issue you have, or if it's bolam l'chol yom v'yom b'toras tashlum mazon, or if you're going to eat it every day because you want to supplement your diet or whatever it might be. Hare sof kol sof eim evarchan haglula se'elu. Nobody in their right mind would say you should make a bracha before you take a pill. And therefore we assume it's not considered to be achila, it's not food, it's not something that you want to eat, you're eating it because you believe that it's going to keep you healthy. So my father was of the opinion that we would allow people not only to have these, but also to have the gel caps as well, even if they're vitamins, because we consider all of them not roi l'achila at all. Now one very, very important caveat to all of this is that a number of years ago there was a very famous nachri who worked in the OU, his name was Jimmy. And Jimmy was a very important part of all the kashrus in America. Why was he important? If you've never been to the OU, you don't understand. But sometimes the Shulchan Aruch says you have to have a kfela, you have to have a non-Jew taste something and let us know, are you able to taste something usser in this mixture or not? So we're going to give you a taste test. So they used to blindfold him, and they would give him a cup of this and a cup of that. Obviously, he trusted everybody in the room. He knew they weren't giving him pickle juice. So they would give him something that was edible, something that tasted good, but they wanted to know, if we mix this ingredient into it, do you taste anything different? And he became this expert in tasting because on so many occasions during his tenure at the OU, being the security guard, he was called from his desk to be the taste tester. It was interesting. So here was another one of those examples where they took a gel capsule and they took off, not the capsule part, they took off the gel part and they put it into water. And they wanted to see whether or not it's going to affect the taste of the water or not. Right? So there were those who argued that gelatin in the first place is not a problem because it has no taste. There's nothing in it. Why is there nothing in it? Because you're right, it started off being the bones of an animal and the bones of a pig, whatever it may have been. But now, after the whole process, the whole procedure, there's nothing left of it anymore, so you don't have to worry. So they came and they did an experiment 1 week. So they had a cup of water, and they asked Jimmy to taste it. Then they put the gel cap in the other cup of water for an hour, and they wanted to see, is it going to melt into the water and make a difference in the taste or not? So let's look the last four lines of this. Ka'es nisbar, where there is a bold in the paragraph. Ka'es nisbarli. So my father writes, now it became clear to me. Now, how did it become clear to him? He didn't want to write in the tshuva that Jimmy told him, but that's what it means. Ka'es nisbarli, now it became clear to me, sheha capsule shala gelatin eino nifsala achila. It's not true. The capsule is not a neutral flavor with nothing in it. The capsule actually tastes like something good. How do I know? Because we took the capsule off of the pill, put it into a cup of water, and gave Jimmy to taste it. And he said it tasted better. So he said, oh, now this is a different discussion. Our whole premise in the first place about all these pills was, oh, it's mutter because it's not roi la'achila. And since it's not roi la'achila, it's the same as the Rambam writes by all these other things that are not roi la'achila, it's not a problem at all. Oh, but now the nature of these gel caps changed. Maybe 100 years ago by Rabbi Chaim Moser, that's the way it was, but today we've perfected the process of making these gel caps and we've gotten to a point where we actually make them flavored. And therefore, there's what to talk about here. What? Oh, so when you swallow a gel cup, you don't taste the flavor. But theoretically, that was part of the machlokas here. Theoretically, if you would take the gel cup off and put it into water, you would taste the difference. So let's see. Ki'ema arbinimo elamayim sorbitol, I don't know, or glycerol. Vim yanichu a capsule bakoshal mayim. If you will put the gel cap into a cup of water, yimacha kulo, it will disintegrate. V'yi hakol roi la'achila. And you will be able to drink that water. Like you just mentioned. You're right. I have the ability to take the gel cap off, put it into water, and taste the difference. However, if I just take it the way it is, I'm not going to notice anything. I just swallow it right away. Since this is what we're talking about a situation where the gel cap actually has machalas asuras that are edible. So for a chola who needs the medication, we would say it's mutter anyway. Why? Because it's still being done shelo kederach achila. The normal way to eat something is not to have a hard capsule and swallow it down. That's not normal. And therefore, we would say for a chola, it's mutter. However, he says, dafka b'deleka maichol kasher l'srapibo. The only time a chola should use this is when there's no other option. But if there is another option to have another capsule that is kasher, so then we would say that you should really go trying to look for that. Now here is a very complicated issue. Because I've been called before about this question, and I'll tell the person, well, if there's another option that's kosher ingredients, you may as well get it. Yeah, but the other option with kosher ingredients is 7 times the price. So is that called another option, or do you say that's not another option? Meaning I'm not willing to pay that kind of money. I mean, I'm willing to pay whatever it takes to get me healthy. But is that really called having another option? Would I say, I've asked my father this before, so he says it has to be within reason. If this bottle of pills is going to be somewhere close to the other bottle of pills and whatever it's going to cost, okay, so then that's called two equal options, or close to equal options. I have to be willing to pay a little bit of money not to eat rafe. But to say that I should go have to pay 7 times the amount just to get around this issue of something that I'm eating shelo kederach achila in the first place, okay, that's already something that we need to think about. It's already something, it's a calculation that we need to meet. And Rav Moshe has another fascinating discussion, which we don't have time to get into now, but Rav Moshe has a tshuva about shellac. I'm assuming most of us have no idea what shellac is, but shellac in the OU is also a very big discussion, because shellac is basically something that comes also from a non-kosher source. And shellac is something that Rav Moshe writes comes from toloim, it's actually manufactured from bugs, from insects. Tolaim is worms. And then Rav Moshe writes that it's niskasha ke'etz, the tolaim become hard like bark of a tree. And then he says, if you look at the tshuva that Rav Moshe has, he writes, they put it into a refinery. I love when Rav Moshe writes these words in English, and you try to figure out his Hebrew English. It's very hard. So finally I figured out he means they send it to a factory, and they refine whatever it is that was captured from this tolaim. And then, after all the process, whatever it turns into, this is what they put on top of candies to make them look shiny. The shellac. And this is also what they put on top of many fruits to make our apples look shiny when you buy them in the store. Now, this is a major shiloh, because this is real emanating from something that's not kosher. So we don't have enough time to discuss it, but if you want to read it on your own, this is the basic OU bottom line. Over here is number Yud Aleph, where they spoke about their position on this issue of the shellac, which again gets back to our original problem of when you have something that's machalas asuras that's in some way enhancing a product that we are going to consume, that we're going to eat, how do we deal with that? When it comes to a pill, when it comes to many other things, and when it comes to shellac, which is not just pills, you're eating that on your apples, on many of the fruits that we buy. It's nice to go to the store and you see that they're shiny and beautiful and very nice. And it's nice that when we buy a candy, it keeps its shine and it keeps its shape and it's not going to get broken. But is that permissible or not? After all, when you find out what's behind all of these products, when you know that the shellac is made up of dvarim that are machalas asuras mamish, that's a major question about what is our position when it comes to these kinds of issues that are mixed into many, many of our food items that we consume every day of the week. So